The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Isn't the word receive really just a synonym for the word believe in the Bible? Well, that's what we're going to find out on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday. Now, we're taking questions from listeners like yourself. I hope you would consider sending us your own questions if you've got any. You can do that through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin. You know, people think when they evangelize someone that the reason why they get uncomfortable is because they're talking about everlasting life, the cross, the resurrection, sin, etc. No, the reason they're uncomfortable is they're uncomfortable talking about theology in general.
Sometimes people are just not used to talking about it. You're used to sitting in a pew and listening to someone else talk about it, but you're never allowed to ask questions. You're not allowed to dialogue about it. So it's like you're not used to talking about it.
See, this is one of my pet peeves. I think, for example, this works in evangelism as well. Instead of just lecturing someone, ask some questions.
Oh, yeah.
So you might ask them, why do you think Jesus died on the cross? Because almost every American has heard about Christmas and Easter, and they've heard about the cross. And
sure.
So if you ask them why they think, but the truth is what you're saying is also true. Even if you try to engage them, they may back off because they're uncomfortable talking about spiritual things.
Right. And it's not even that they're not interested. I know they're interested.
Questions. I think what it is, Sean, is fear of embarrassment.
Maybe.
If you don't really understand an issue well, it's hard for you, especially if these people are professing believers.
Yeah.
And they go to church, they go to Bible study.
Yeah.
But yet when you start engaging them in some more detailed conversation, they can't keep up.
Right.
It's kind of embarrassing. It's like, well, I should know this, but I don't. I didn't go to Bible college, or in your case, you went to college with advanced theological degree in college, but I didn't do that. I went to seminary.
Yeah.
And when I got to Dallas Seminary, I discovered rather quickly that although a lot of the people who had Bible college backgrounds were fairly knowledgeable about aspects of church history or basic doctrine, when it got into more complicated things, well, they were struggling.
Yeah.
And
because this was their first degree in theology.
Right.
This is probably the first time they've thought about their faith at that level.
Well, you know, they may have had, in some cases, the ones who had Bible college backgrounds, they had some degree, but the ones who didn't, they were even more lost. But what I found was, for me, not having a Bible college background probably helped.
Uh-huh.
Because I came in fresh.
Right.
And I was like a sponge.
Yes.
I was asking lots of questions, and I got so many things wrong, and I said a lot of stupid things and a lot of embarrassing things. But have you ever heard people say the only bad question is the question you don't ask?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And so I asked a lot of stupid questions in seminary, but I learned.
Sure. That's right.
The whole class laughed at me.
You know, yeah, you just have to kind of put that shyness aside and just ask your questions. And maybe if it turns out to be a silly question, okay, you've learned something. You know, you learn something even by asking silly questions.
I got one for you. I debated Dr. Ken Sorrells at Dallas Seminary 2 days in a row during a brown bag at Dallas Seminary in 90 or 91. I can't remember the year. And we were discussing lordship, salvation, and saving faith and assurance. And so at one point he said, do you believe in prevenient grace?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, I had graduated from seminary like 9 years before. I couldn't remember exactly. I thought prevenient grace was the idea that God works in the lives of the unbeliever to draw them toward Christ.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't sure that was it. And
yep.
I said, well, I'm not, you know, I'm really not sure what prevenient grace is, but I do believe that God draws people toward Christ.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is drawing. He said, that's prevenient grace. And like 200 students just broke out laughing.
Yeah.
Of course, he was teaching church history at the time.
Yeah.
Or historical theology. And I was like, okay, you get a little cred here, but the truth is we got some bigger stuff coming down the line.
Right, right.
And I remember I asked him at one point, Well, I said, are you certain that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord in his kingdom?
Yeah.
And he said, no, nobody can be sure.
Right.
He said, because we haven't persevered yet. My name isn't written in the Bible. I'd have to have my name written in the Bible. And I was like, that seems inconsistent with the Dallas Seminary doctrinal statement.
Right.
Which says that a believer can and should be sure from the moment of faith onward. Anyway, we got off on a side
track. No, well, that's, you wouldn't have found those things out without, you know, asking your questions and dialoguing with people about it. And now, in your case, you had to do that in front of 200 people.
Yeah.
But that's the risk. There used to be a group in East Dallas when I lived there. It was called something like the Socratic Society. And basically, it was Christian apologetic, an apologetic society. Under the guise of Socrates. Anyways, and every once a month, I think they'd meet and someone would read a paper on theology or philosophy and people would just kind of discuss it. And know what? I actually met Jerry Pitillo there.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
GES board member and speaker at our conference many times.
It turns out that he had attended there. And this is really before I knew him.
Well, let's give a shout out to Jerry.
All right, Jerry Pitillo. Shout out to Jerry Pitillo.
He's a missionary now.
He is, too. Maybe we shouldn't say to where.
We shouldn't say, but somewhere.
But somewhere. Yes, great guy, great godly man. And anyway, so you need a forum. If you're hungry for theology, you should get together with someone. I mean, it's one thing to listen to us talk, and it's slightly better than listening to a monologue, you know, having two people dialogue. In fact, Bob and I have wondered, should we try preaching sermons like this? Both of us go up and just preach a sermon by dialogue. Would that work?
I think it would break ground.
It'd be new. But no, you should get together with some friends who like to talk theology and just say, hey, we're going to sit down, have coffee, and we're going to talk theology now. We're going to talk about the Bible now. We're going to discuss it. Go out of your way to do that if you're hungry for it, because I know there are other hungry people out there. You just have to connect with them. And how do I know there are hungry people out there? Because they send us their questions.
And you have one question for
us? I do. I have a question from, this is from Doug. And this is about the word, he doesn't cite the verse, but he's definitely talking about the first chapter of John. And he's talking about, he has a question about, he says, hey, Bob, I'm a little confused with what you shared regarding the word receive. It seems that you're saying that it's a synonym for believe. Yet, if you check the thesaurus, they aren't synonyms. Receiving is not a synonym for believing. So it left me wondering, are they synonyms or aren't they? And he goes on and he says a few things, and he quotes from John. And John talks about receiving in verse 12, and he also talks about it in verse 16 in the first chapter. And here's what Doug says. He says, maybe John is laying out a little hint here as to what it means to believe. To believe is to accept something as true, to be persuaded, to receive it. Do you think I'm on the right track here?
I do. I like that, Doug. You notice, read again what Doug said. To receive is to accept it as true, to be persuaded?
Yeah.
Okay, you notice how that's different than the way most people? How do most people explain receive in John 1:12?
Well, Jesus, like Santa Claus coming down a chimney, somehow enters into your heart.
And how does he enter my heart?
By, like, I don't know, committing or giving yourself to him.
No, well, it could be that, but oftentimes it's just inviting him.
Asking him
into my heart, whatever. That's not what Doug's saying. And I absolutely agree with Doug, because notice John 1:11. John 1:11 says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. This is talking about Israel, and Israel, for the most part, rejected him. But as many as received him, well, that would be accepting the message which he gave, accepting his claim to be Messiah, the one who guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And by the way, children of God, that's the new birth, which is brought out in verse 13. To those who believe in his name. There's no punctuation between as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The only punctuation is a comma. And so, to those who believe in his name is another way of speaking of those who receive him.
So believing is receiving.
Right.
So normally, if you look up in a thesaurus, you're not going to see believing as a synonym for receiving or vice versa. But that's the way John is using it.
Right. But in John's gospel, coming to Jesus, John 6:35 is a figure for believing, and yet you wouldn't find that. Or how about eating the bread of life? Would you find that in a thesaurus, or drinking the water?
Right. So John is using these creative illustrations and metaphors for believing, because, like any good writer, You want to vary your presentation a little bit.
Right.
You know.
But what I really like is read again what Doug said about how he would explain receiving.
To believe is to accept something or someone as true, to be persuaded in a sense.
To receive, not to believe, but to receive.
Well, he says, I was kind of paraphrasing his question a little bit because his question is about receive.
Oh, okay.
So receiving, accepting means
to
be persuaded.
So was he say receiving is being persuaded?
That's what he's wondering, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, receiving is being persuaded here. Look at it this way. John 5:24, we get the same basic idea. Could you read that one?
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life.
Okay, so notice here, what Jesus is saying, why does he even bring in the Father? He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me. Why bring in God the Father? Well, because God the Father sent Jesus to bring this message, to give this message,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So if you believe in the Father, you need to believe in the person the Father sent.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're not accepting or receiving the message the Father sent him to give.
Sure.
And believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. The point here is to accept the message that Jesus gives is to believe it. And it's also to accept and believe the message the Father sent him to give. And that message is, whoever believes in him has everlasting life, won't come into judgment concerning everlasting life, and has already passed from death into life. It doesn't occur later. It's already occurred.
Yeah.
And so I'm right with Doug. Receiving is being convinced or persuaded in John 1:12. The good news is if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, you have believed his message of everlasting life for all who simply believe in him, well, then you know you have everlasting life, and you will continue to know that as long as you continue to believe his promise. And that's perfectly fine to call that receiving him and receiving his message, because to receive him is to be persuaded that what he promises is true.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to discuss whether Calvinism is biblical, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.